Round one was over. Parents won. Kids sip.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing. That was all started by a mouse.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
To infinity and beyond.
There's a touch of madness around here.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to DDP Today, a show that is a little about us, a lot about Disney, and fun for the whole family. My name is Joe, and tonight I'm not joined by one, not two, but three of my DDP brothers tonight. First, let's start with my brother to the north, Mr. Dan Rossi. Dan, welcome to the show. How are you tonight, my friend?
I'm good. It's been a little busy. I'm the tardy one tonight. I was a little late getting in. We've been kind of running around here. My middle one, Finn, is getting ready to graduate high school here in about a month and a half, and he is, you know, he's considering going military bound here in this summer. And so we've been visiting Marine recruiters, Navy recruiters, Air Force recruiters, and he's trying to figure out what branch he wants. It's a lot of stuff all at once, and we're getting to the point where he's got to make a decision here in the next couple of weeks, because we want to get that process started. But it's definitely a lot. It'll be obviously our first kid going into the military. There's obviously, it's a great thing for him to do, but it definitely puts some worry notes on mom and dad to have a kid going into the military. So, I'm excited, but a little nervous too at the same time.
Do we know which way he's leaning yet? Does he have a particular favorite yet?
I think he's leaning Marines right now. He's really into the fire service. He does the fire service through the high school, and so he's looking at which branch will allow him to go into that that program in each of the branches. So
that's
we will see.
Well, that's awesome, man. So tell him the boys here at DDP Day thank him for his upcoming service to our great country. We appreciate that. And speaking of service to our great country, let's get over to Myrtle Beach and my buddy Mike. What's going on, brother? How are you tonight, my friend?
I'm doing good. I'm glad to see everybody tonight. I will give Dan, I do work with a lot of people who are former military, and quite a few of my friends served in the armed forces. And every one of my friends said that if they had to do it over again, they would go to the Air Force. Not that I'm trying to convince them to go any which way, but they're the highest funded, they're the most safe, and they have the best barracks, and they get paid the best. So not to sway his decision at all. Yeah. And if I had to join the military, the Air Force would be the way that I go. But more power to him, and I'm fantastic that he's going to be serving his country, and that's super great. And we do have a lot of great Marines that have been part of this podcast. One of them actually started this podcast. So whichever way he goes, I'm sure I'm happy to see that, I'm sure he'll be enjoying what he loves. But I've been doing good. I've been a little busy with work. I'm off the next couple of days. I'm off of work, which is great because I love recording on a night when I don't have to get up in the morning. So I've been good, and I'm looking forward to tonight's show.
Nice, man. Well, and last but certainly not least, the man who doesn't have any service to his credit, but he services our podcast community, Mr. Justin Suter. Justin, welcome to the show tonight, brother. How are you? Get the night off tonight.
Yeah, this is pretty nice. I'm kind of multitasking right now. I'm excited to be on the show, excited for the topic, but I'm also on Royal Caribbean's website like crazy because we just learned today that our cruise next week, actually when this show drops for main show, I'll be leaving the following day and I'll be gone for a full 2 weeks. So they canceled our stop in Labadee, Haiti. I was super bummed about it. I got the email today. Of course, I understand why with all the civil unrest that's going on there. But then with the email, it said, hey, we're not just going to do another day at sea. We're going to take you to Turks and Caicos. So I've never been to Turks. I'm super excited. The port there looks super cool. There's a Margaritaville with a pool like right off the port that you can use, complimentary chairs. But I'm wanting to get on because I want to get one of the cabanas by the pool. And they haven't updated the excursions yet to get rid of Labadee and put Turks and Caicos on there. But Dan, I know you've been to Turks and you absolutely love it.
Yeah, we're actually going again this summer in June, heading to beaches, Turks and Caicos. So I don't really, I'm not as familiar with the island itself, like exploring different things. We've done some excursions when we were there, But Grace Bay is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, the water there, I mean, it looks like you're swimming in a pool for as far as the eye can see. And obviously beaches, you know, is the family version of sandals. We're going to be taking a group trip next summer. So I'm super excited about that. But so obviously, you know, the resort itself is fantastic. You know, lots of great restaurants and lots to do for the kids. So I'm really looking forward to that. But I either way, I think you're going to enjoy Turks. It is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, super excited, man.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, Justin, you're kind of going through this right now. You just went through the Run Disney registration hassle and stress, and now you're doing this with Royal Caribbean. So this just is one thing into another with you, with stressing out with reservations and trying to grab certain things. So I hope it works out well for you tonight, because we did good as a Run Disney community, but we hope you get all the reservations you want for your trip to Turks and Caicos, so you have a great, you know, date night with the family, or, you know, with whatever you guys want to do when you're getting there. And it kind of brings us into our topic tonight, something a little bit different. But we wanted to talk about, you know, what are your top 10 places to do a date night at Walt Disney World? And this is something that, you know, in our recent Patreon episodes, we've kind of pulled back the onion a little bit more about our, you know, personal lives, what we like and dislike. And we're going to do that again tonight in tonight's Patreon episode. But kind of this, when it comes to date nights and spending, you know, time with your significant others at the Walt Disney World Resort, it's all to each his own. Everybody has a different preference of what they like to do. Some people like to be more in the parks, and some people like to do more of on the dining and, you know, and having drinks side of things. So tell you, we're going to kind of rate our top 10 things of what we think are things you could do at a Walt Disney World for a date night. So starting with number 10, this is something that I think everybody kind of does on their vacations. But, you know, this is something if you're out there with your significant other, I think it's a great thing to do. And that is a transportation crawl. And that could be anything from a monorail crawl to a Skyliner crawl now, which is something that's new. Or even if you really want to slum it, you could do a bus crawl where you can kind of hop from bus station to go to different resorts or theme parks. So, guys, what are your thoughts about the transportation crawls as a date night option at Walt Disney World? Justin, we'll start with you.
Of course, I had my mic muted. Yeah, so listen, I think it's an absolute blast. Like, for me, this gives you the opportunity to go to multiple places. You can kind of don't have to have a real true plan with doing this. I mean, you can, you know, you can say, hey, we're going to go from Grand Flow to the Contemporary, you know, go up and have a drink at Outer Rim, or we can go maybe get an appetizer and sit at the bar at California Grill, do something like that. But for me, this is just, it gives you so many different opportunities to do so much within the evening and have multiple viewpoints of the property. I mean, any of the places you go, I mean, going over to the Poly and sitting on the beach together to watch fireworks at the end of the night, watch the electric water pageant. This is, I think, a staple for a lot of Disney adults. Is if they haven't done it, it's on their Disney bucket list, is to do a monorail crawl, and to do it with your significant other, someone you love. I mean, it's a blast.
Dan, is this something that you and Jen have ever kind of done? I mean, I know you guys don't usually have a car when you're on property, but is this something that where you guys would take a, you know, the monorail from the Magic Kingdom, or if you're over in Epcot, maybe hop over to the Magic Kingdom resorts, or even hop on the Skyliner? Is this something that you guys ever done in the past?
Yeah, absolutely. The Skyliner is a little tougher because there's not as many places, I guess, to go get drinks. But we've done that, like where we've gotten drinks over at Caribbean Beach, Skyliner over to the Riviera. And we ended up going up there to the bar with the intention of just having a drink or two. And we ended up sitting at the bar and ordering dinner. We had dinner and drinks. So again, that's a great option. I like the monorail option better just because there's more options there. And even if you don't drink, like Justin said, you could just hit the lounges up, have an appetizer. Or, you know, if you want to watch the fireworks from the beach over at the Poly, you can have a Dole Whip. You know, there's so many different options. And at least with the monorail, you have multiple resorts that you can hit up. You could even take the boat over to the Wilderness too and hit some of the lounges over there. So again, great options to do something that's not inside the parks.
Mike, is this something that Laura ever discusses with you when you guys go on your trips? Like, she has an interest in hopping around resorts?
She hasn't mentioned anything about that. I've always wanted to do a monorail crawl. I've never got to do one. I know a lot of other groups, podcasts, blogs, you know, websites you see out there, they always have some meetups. They do them. I've seen quite a few of them going on, you know, through the Disney community, through social media. Something I've always wanted to do, and obviously I would love to do it with Laura, you know, just kind of do the two of us, kind of go around. I don't think the kids would be interested so much, especially if we were stopping at lounges and having, you know, cocktails and drinks. I think that's more of, you know, just me and Laura speed kind of thing. I definitely like to do that. I'd definitely like to try it. She definitely wouldn't be, certainly wouldn't do the bus, because I'm not crazy about Disney bus transportation to begin with. So I would probably definitely cross that off my list. And she's not a big fan of the Skyliners, but the monorail is a good way to go. She likes riding the monorail. I like it. You get some really good resorts out of it. And that's something that, if we were having a date night, that's something that I would definitely want to try with her.
Yeah, after we just stayed at the Grand Floridian a couple weeks ago for, you know, when I crashed, you know, Justin and Dan's, you know, travel agent convention, it really makes it great if you're actually staying at one of the monorail resorts, because you're really just right there when you're done. So whatever shape you're in at the end of the night, it's an easy walk back to your room. So it definitely is a bonus if you're staying at one of the Magic Kingdom resorts. Going to number 9 on our list, it's very similar to what we just discussed within the monorail resorts, but that is a date night around the boardwalk. I think that this used to be, and guys, tell me if I'm wrong, I think this was better maybe pre-COVID, maybe 6, 7, 8 years ago. I think the boardwalk is kind of a shell of itself, which is unfortunate. A lot of the activities or the places on the boardwalk have kind of closed and really aren't there anymore. ESPN's kind of gone now, you know. Big River Grill is now just closed. I still think it's something that you can, if you really want to make an effort, you could make it good with Yacht and Beach Club, the boardwalk. You got Swan and Dolphin right there. You could pop into Epcot. Technically, it's kind of part of the area, so you could still make this area something work for a date night. What are your guys' thoughts? Mike, I'll start with you. Do you think this is still a viable option, the boardwalk at night?
I do. I like that area. It's got, it's got that circus feel, you know, where it has the just the lighting and the ambiance of that area. It's definitely something that I like. It's definitely, if you want to maybe have more of just a conversation, just to kind of relax a little bit, there's plenty of benches where you can sit, overlook the water. So I definitely like that as an idea, as a date night.
All right, Justin?
So there's a bunch of stuff that comes to mind with this, and especially in the evenings. Sun's dipping down, starting to cool off a little bit. You know, over at the boardwalk, start your evening with a delicious meal at Flying Fish. You know, really enjoy maybe a glass of wine there. And then, of course, make that stroll around. Go over to Beaches and Cream, get dessert. Look, as the lactose intolerant kid, I can't enjoy it, but a lot of people do enjoy the walk-up window there where you can get some stuff at Beaches and Cream. But I think there's so much to do, because you kind of mentioned it. It's, you can throw a park in there. And even just taking, we talked about transportation on the last one, number 10. But if you take an evening boat ride over to Hollywood Studios, you know, take that back way over. And then you could even take the walk back. I mean, you could go in, do something at Studios, come straight back, get straight back to the boardwalk. There's just a lot to do in that area. I do agree with you 100%. It is a shell of itself, which is a shame, because there is, you know, if we go back 6, 7, 8 years, I just feel like it was so robust with the entertainers that were on the boardwalk at night, with the activities that were on the boardwalk at night. I just don't think it's quite the same, but I still think it's one of the best places to go if you want to do a date night. I, like, once again, you don't have to have a plan. You can go somewhere and just kind of figure it out as you go along. And I think that's what makes Disney date nights unique, is that, you know, when you're there with the family and you're there with the kids, you've got to have a plan, man. You've got to know what you're doing. You've got to get those Genie Pluses. To take an evening and just go for a stroll and kind of wing it sounds like the perfect itinerary for me. Perfect date night for me.
Yeah, it's one of those things, too. I would definitely not knock out the Swan and Dolphin. They got some great lobby bars in there, some great bars inside of the restaurants there. So it's a little bit out of the way. You got to kind of, you know, make it an effort to get over there. But I think that's also an option for you as well, if you're walking around the area. Dan, I know you're a big fan of Coronado, right? I mean, I know you would just walk around that resort all night if you could and go up to the bars up there. But your thoughts on a night out over at the Epcot Resort area here with the Yacht and Beach Club and the Boardwalk?
Honestly, I think this probably falls in my top three. I love it here. You know, going to Abracadabra, having a couple of drinks there. I don't know. Do they still have the Magician's Walk Around? I know they used to, but I haven't seen them there in a long time.
Every now and then they'll bring them in, but it's very, very rare. Same with the jugglers out on the boardwalk and all
that. Buskers.
Yeah. It's still a great place to go have a drink. And then I would put Flying Fish up against just about any restaurant on Disney property. The food there is fantastic. And then being able to go finish the night off at Jelly Rolls with the dueling piano. I mean, it is definitely a fun night. I mean, you don't even have to go there and have drinks. You know, you could just go there and sing and have fun. And I love it there. I have not tried out any of the lounges at Swan and Dolphin, but that's a great idea as well, like that Joe mentioned. But again, this area is great. I mean, the only downside is if you're staying away from here, it's a little harder to get to. You're going to have to Uber. So
the one thing I want to discuss real quick here, and I think it doesn't get enough discussion is your guys' thoughts on Jelly Rolls. It's been a long time since I've been there. Probably before COVID was the last time I was at Jelly Rolls. I think it probably got suspended for a little bit when COVID was going on. I think it's back open now, but I know Dan says he's had a great time there at Jelly Rolls. I had a good time there with Jen and myself, but we had some friends coming from out of town. Mike and Justin, your thoughts on Jelly Rolls for our DDB family, if they don't know much about it. What are your guys' thoughts on the dueling piano bar at Disney World?
I have never been there yet, so it's definitely on my list to do. So it's something that on a date night would be great because the two of us haven't. It would be a great experience, but I haven't been to Jelly Rolls yet.
Yeah, Mike, we'll put that on our list next time we're down together. We'll go to Jelly Rolls. Jelly Rolls is a lot of fun. It's kind of overlooked by a lot of people. A lot of people or Disney guests don't realize it's there or what it is. Disney really doesn't advertise it. They used to years ago, but they really don't kind of throw it out there. Even if you're staying at the boardwalk, they don't really talk about it a lot. You know, it's not on any of the, you know, check-in videos or anything like that. I haven't been in a long time, Joe. It's been a while. Actually, the last time I was in there was for a DVC event, which was probably a year ago, 2 years ago. Been a little while. They had some photos with some characters, and you got a popcorn bucket, and pretty cool event. But I haven't been to Jelly Rolls in quite a while. But it's a great way to end the night. If you're on a date night, go in there. I think the last time Katie and I were going to go, the cover was pretty steep. I want to say it was $20 a person to get in.
Oh wow, okay.
I don't know if it's that much. For some reason, $10 is
$10.
Yeah, I thought it was 10. I'm not sure. Like, I went there last year when I was down there for Away With Me Travel, and I went there with a couple of agents. And like I said, it did shut down for a while during COVID, but was kind of cool. There were a couple of the pianists there that played at Jelly Rolls. They actually were on Facebook, and they would do like live shows on Facebook, like from their house or whatever. So I followed a couple of those guys, and again, they're super talented. But again, it's just a good time. You know, you're there to sing songs. They obviously throw in some Disney songs here and there. So, it kind of gets everyone in the mood. But they also have all kinds of other songs that they play. So it's definitely a good time.
I won't even mention Atlantic Dance Hall because I don't even know what that is sometimes. So we'll just skip over that and move on to number 8 on our list. And this is something I don't know a lot about. I've never experienced, but it sounds like if you're going to have a date night at Disney, this is something that's definitely would be a more romantic thing. That'd be a carriage ride over at Disney's Port Orleans Resort or at Disney's Fort Wilderness Resort and Campground. Gentlemen, have any of you guys, I'm going to open up to everybody here, had experience with a carriage ride at any Disney resort?
We have. Port Orleans French Quarter was the first family trip that we took when the kids were little. Sarah was 4 years old. Sammy was just a few months old. We did a land-sea package, did a couple of days in the parks, and then a couple of days on a Disney cruise ship when Sammy was first born. And Port Orleans was the first place we stayed. And while we were walking around the property, we saw the carriage rides there. And having a newborn in tow was something. It wasn't a romantic dinner thing. It wasn't a romantic date night with Laura and I, but it was something that we could do with a newborn baby. Obviously, you're a little bit limited, and we wanted to get Sammy down there and Sarah down there at that age. So that was my experience with that. And I've obviously had a lot of experience with carriage rides in New York City. Before Laura and I were, engaged and married and all of that, I used to date quite a bit, obviously. And sometimes you take those dates into the city, especially during Christmas time, and we take the carriage rides around Manhattan. That was a great thing to do. You go to Rockefeller Center, you do some ice skating, and a carriage ride through Central Park was always a nice way to kind of top it off. So, I've done the New York City carriage rides, and then I've carried it over to Disney with doing it over in Port Orleans. So it's definitely very cool for ambiance. I would love to do it on the Fort Wilderness side, especially around the Christmas time, because I know there's a lot of really cool decorations out. But I've only had experience doing it on the Port Orleans side.
Mike, do you remember did it take a long time to make that reservation? Do you remember how that, it was a long time ago. It's probably about 16 years ago now, but do you remember something you had to book far in advance, or do you remember how that worked?
Walked right up. There was no reservation needed, at least at that time when we went. I don't know if it was off season, whatever the case was. And it's been a long time, so things might've changed since then. But I remember it was just one of those spur of the moment things. I didn't even know about it. Didn't even think about it. It was our first Disney family trip. It had probably been about 10 or 15 years before I'd even been to Disney. So it was just one of those things that was there. It was available, and that's what we kind of jumped on.
All right, Justin, is this something that Katie, is this on Katie's radar? Or?
No. here's why. I think I've talked about this before. Living where I live here in the great Charleston, South Carolina, I have an irrational hatred towards horse and buggies. Like, irrational. Mike knows this. if you ride with me downtown, mm-hmm. it drives me bonkers. Now, it's great for the tourists. Joey Q, you know downtown Charleston very well. Mm-hmm. It's a huge thing to do for the tourists to get in a horse and buggy and ride around the holy city here. But I am telling you, it's the most annoying thing on the planet. So I almost have this like irrational dislike of horses and buggies. I love buggies on their own, and I love horses on their own. But if you put them together, I can't stand them. So I'm never going to do this. I don't think I'm ever, I would never touch it because I have this irrational feeling towards them. I will tell you this though. Mike's right. You can walk. We were over going to Hoopy Doo, and they had the horse and buggy, and you could just walk up and I'm not saying that's like that all the time, but it's $65 and you can schedule it before, but I mean, most of the time you can just go there. Fits up to four adults, or two adults and three small children. So if you're family of five, you can still take advantage of this.
Dan, do you feel as strongly as Justin does about this, or?
Yeah. I think I'm on Justin's side with this one. It's just not something that I've ever done. You could do that in downtown Chicago. You know, a lot of people have done that. I've walked around. It's not for me. It's not for Jen. I keep like looking back to like that Seinfeld episode when Kramer was feeding the horse like beefaroni or something, and it did not end well for the guests in the carriage. But I mean, if that's your thing, I mean, it would be a great thing to do, and then you could take a boat over to Disney Springs and have dinner. I mean, it could be a great night if that's your thing. But for me, it's not for me.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just not, Joey. So I don't know if they do this at Disney, but here in Charleston, they have like a poop catcher. And then you're sitting right behind the poop catcher. So it's like this, the horse poops, it's sitting in the tub, the poop catcher. And now it's just wafting up in the warm summer heat. It doesn't, I don't know, man.
I'm not a fan of it either.
Here's the thing, man. I know a lot of couples, this would be a great evening for you. It's unique. It's fun. Just if you ever come to Charleston, come visit me. I will not take you on a horse and buggy ride.
I think the three of us are from areas that have this. You know, Mike and I are from the New York tri-state area, and you know, Charleston has it, Chicago has it. So if you're somebody from like an area that doesn't have this, it may be very unique. I have a hate relationship with this as somebody who worked in the city, Mike, for many years, getting stuck behind them, or the horses taking up many prime parking spots on the street. It just drove me nuts. So yeah, but this may be something that, you know, would be unique for somebody who doesn't have that for where they're from. So I guess it'd be you know, no better place to do it than in Walt Disney World, right? But I'll take a hard pass on this one, but it's out there for you at number 8 on our list. Something that's more up my alley, and I think would be up Justin's alley as well, at number 7 is, this is something that I think we've all done when we've kind of been courting our significant others, and you take the mini golfing. You don't have to be a real golfer to go mini golfing, but mini golfing at Walt Disney World. Gentlemen, your thoughts about putting the kids in a kids club and taking your wife mini golfing or your spouse mini golfing for the night. Justin, I see you're excited. What are your thoughts about that?
I love it. This can go one of two ways for my family, for me and Katie. This can be an amazing experience, and we do this quite a bit when on property. We do this quite a bit just actually – when we go down to Port Canaveral next week, there is a mini golf course right across the street from the hotel. We always stay out the night before we cruise, and we always go play there. They actually have like reptiles and stuff like that. That's where Riley held a snake a couple years ago, stuff like that. We really enjoy it. We play the mini golf courses at Disney quite a bit. I like to play the fairways course because I know I can beat her on the fairways course. If I win, it is a fantastic date. If I lose, I am a sore loser, and this might not be a great date night. But if I win, one of the best dates you can do on Walt Disney World property.
Mike, are you a sore loser if you lose?
Laura and I are very competitive. I play for keeps, and if I don't win, she'll know about it all night. Miniature golf is something that we definitely get competitive about. I'm looking forward to, within the last week, they just opened up the Pop Golf here, the Tiger Woods miniature golf course here. Yeah, so that just opened up, I'd say, literally about a week ago. So a couple people I know have gone. They've had some great reviews about it. So I'm looking forward to probably before the summertime hits, before the tourists really come down here to Myrtle Beach, maybe Laura and I'll head out there. I went to Top Golf last week for a birthday party for one of the people we work with. It was a lot of fun. And the new miniature golf is across the street from there. The new Tiger Woods little miniature golf course. So I'm definitely looking forward to having a date night here in Myrtle Beach with Laura and going there one night. And I like doing miniature golf in Florida. You know, it's a lot of fun. We get a lot of miniature golf here in Myrtle Beach, obviously. It's like the miniature golf capital of the world, I think. Mm-hmm. So we have enough courses you could, you know, shake a stick at. But yeah, it's something we like. We get very competitive. Anytime Laura and I do something like that, it always becomes, you know, a fight on who's going to win on this one.
Really quickly, two things. One, we're doing a guys' weekend in Myrtle for a race. We're running the challenge. Running the we run a 10K,
15K plus one.
We run a 5K, then we run a 1 miler, right? Mm-hmm. But we got a hotel right on the beach, 2-bedroom villa. It's going to be a boys' weekend. We got to go to that pop golf place. That mm-hmm. would be a ton of fun. Ton of fun. Two, a lot of people don't realize that if you were staying at a Walt Disney World property on cash, with a cash room, you get a free round of golf for each person on the reservation at Walt Disney World, like a free round of mini golf. And take advantage of that. That is a huge savings that you can go and you can experience the mini golf courses there. So great date night, and it doesn't cost anything. So I know that's right up Dan's alley.
If it's free, it's for me. I personally, I would love to do it. I am the competitive one in the family, though. Jen could not care less. So she just gets mad at me, especially, you know, obviously a date night, it's just going to be me and her. But if it's the whole family, you know, I will never let anyone win. You know, she'd be like, you know, at least let the boys win it at some point in time. But again, this would be a great option to go miniature golfing earlier in the day. And then you could walk right over to the boardwalk and hit one of our other spots that we talked about. Have dinner at the Flying Fish. Go to Jelly Rolls to end the night. I think that's a perfect date night.
Man, Dan's really pushing the Flying Fish tonight. We got to check that out. I don't eat fish, but it sounds it's a
great restaurant. Yeah. Laura and I ate there on the last DDP trip. It was a really good spot. I raved about it.
Yeah. And I had no idea about the free mini golf with cash. So I think that's why mm-hmm. it's important to use a travel agent. So Justin at awaywithpaytravel.com. Shameless plug, Justin, for the company here. So yeah, to check them out. Justin will help you out with your reservations. So moving on to number six. I think this one is kind of a very broad one. Right, but we're going to say date night and kind of catching a show at Disney Springs. We all know Disney Springs has dozens of restaurants or places to get drinks and to, you know, stroll around, have a good time. Obviously, if somebody loves Saratoga, it's something that is incorporated into our stay all the time. It would be way too much to kind of pick out every little single spot in Disney Springs to talk about where would be a good spot to go. So what I'm going to do is, for Disney Springs, guys, pick out your best spot of where you would like to have a quote-unquote date night. It could be a bar, a lounge, a restaurant, a place to see a show, an attraction. Dan, we'll start with you. What is your top place at Disney Springs to have a good date night at?
Well, I think the perfect date night, and you have to be a wine drinker, is Wine Bar George actually has wine events where they'll have wine tastings, and it's hosted by George himself, George Miliotis. He will like have a wine tasting. I think it lasts about 90 minutes. I think the pricing, I want to say it starts around 110, but it goes up from there. But I mean, I think that would be great. You have there's less than 300 sommeliers in the world, isn't it? I thought there's not a ton of them. So like you have this sommelier basically providing you all this wine and talking about it. So if you're a wine drinker, I think that would be a great option. You could even have dinner there afterward, or again, there's so many different options in Disney Springs. I'm trying to think like what my favorite would be. I mean, STK, if you want a good steak, I suppose. There's plenty of good Italian restaurants there. And then you could even finish the night out with, you know, maybe a couple of drinks at one of the lounges at the Edison, something like that. But yeah, I think Wine Bar George, that wine event that they have, is a really great option for a date night.
Mikey, what are your thoughts?
My favorite place to go to, it's a place that I believe maybe we had a drink there together. I know we've all been there together, and that's the Boathouse. And I think going to that outside bar area, you get the Boathouse on a nice summer night with a cool breeze out there by the water. That's one of the best things you could possibly imagine. I think it was me and Rick. And were you there that night, Joe?
I was there. And this is my actually top spot, Mike, and I'm glad you brought this up, is the outdoor bar at Boathouse. We were all there that night. And yes. A nice, beautiful night on a Central Florida evening. I always talk about that, right? Like a beautiful Central Florida evening, but overlooking Saratoga, overlooking Disney Springs, the water, mm-hmm. watching the boats go by, there's nothing better than to sit there with your friends, your DDP brothers, or your significant other. I 100% agree with you, Mike, on that. That is the best spot.
Yep.
Justin, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm going to jump in because I've got a couple things. One, if you're not a DDP fan, if you're not stopping by Stargazers for a beverage,
that's romantic. That is the, I'll say that much.
That's the DDP lounge right there. But I'll tell you, one of my favorite places, and Dan mentioned it actually, which I was happy to hear, because a lot of people overlook it, is the Edison. The Edison is a very unique experience for people on a date night. So one, typically have live music. Okay. Two, they always typically have live performers that so they'll have contortionists, they'll have jugglers, they'll have people doing magic just walking around the Edison at night. They have one of the best menus for beverages on property. It's fantastic, and they host a ton of events. I mean, just to give you an idea of their calendar coming up, right now it's the 19th. On the 23rd, they do a pre-Prohibition era cocktail class. They do a mixology cocktail class on the 6th of April, a whiskey and wonder cocktail class. All these are ticketed events that run about $100 each, but kind of the middle of the day. Like, that's a really cool thing. Go do those classes with your significant other. And then talking about the menu itself, I've eaten there multiple times. I like the food. They have what's called a high roller cocktail menu, okay? There's four different drinks on this menu. Boys, this is going to have to be a DDP live show that we'll do to go and do research, because they range about $35 to $40 for the first three, okay? You have Fire in Vermont, you have a Cristobal's Revenge, you have a Silken Lace, which is a decadent and silky smooth chocolate cherry cake Manhattan. Mike, that sounds right up your alley.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I was thinking that.
Yeah, but here's what I want to try. The Gilded Old Fashioned. Check this out, Dan.
Ooh, I like
Presented tableside and served in gold accented crystal glassware. Few other libations are capable of matching the sophistication of the Gilded Old Fashioned. Whistlepig 18-year bourbon barrel aged Vermont maple syrup and bitter cube Trinity bitters create a symphony of glass. $125 for the drink.
That's all.
You lost Dan at the price.
you had me all the way.
Here's the thing, though, man. If we're on a date, that we have DDP date night with just us, right? Just the host. If we get Dan a couple of bourbons in, that price doesn't matter. I've watched him at bars just start going, "How about that one? How about that one?" You know, and it goes out the window. So the Edison, man, a lot of fun, really cool spot. It's like I said, got live entertainment, live music, good menu, good drinks, fun atmosphere. So for me, going to the Edison is way, way up there if I'm on a date night.
Well, going from Justin's top spot at Disney Springs, the Edison, to our number five, I think this is one of Dan's favorite spots. We're going to head over to Coronado Springs Resort. Dan, the sangria tasting over Sangria University over at Coronado Springs. Your thoughts? Do you know a lot about this? Have you ever done this before? It's number five on our list.
Yeah, I have not done this. I thought Sarah did it. Did she do it?
She did during marathon weekend. Yeah.
Was it marathon weekend she did it, or she did it like in the summer? I can't remember, but I know she did it. But that's over at Three Bridges. Again, great place to go have food and drinks. I mean, I can't say enough good things about Coronado. I mean, you could do a crawl there, you know, and have a whole date night all throughout Coronado property. You could do the Sangria University. You can hit the Barcelona Lounge. You got Toledo, which is another underrated restaurant, which is really good. They have a lot of really good wine there as well. And then you can finish the night off at Dahlia. I mean, this would be a top three spot for me to do a date night. And I know Jen would agree for sure.
Yeah, I find it cool that it's actually the history of sangria. So you're not just getting hammered and drinking sangria. Mm-hmm. Actually, you're learning something new. And I think it includes an appetizer or something like that. So it's kind of a whole encompassing thing that it's not just, you know, getting lit. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like an educational experience. So if you're into sangria, it seems kind of like your jam. Mike, is this something that... you know, would be on your radar?
It would be on my radar. I don't know if it'd be on Laura's radar. Laura's not a big sangria fan, but it's just definitely something that I sound interested in. So if, you know, if one of the DDP boys wants to go for me for a little date night, we'll go to Sangria University. I'm up for that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge sangria fan, but I think I would try this. Justin, what are your thoughts on this?
Joey Quatz, you just come with us and we'll get you a pina colada before we go. You know what I mean?
Well, sangria's got fruit in it, though. It's got fruit in it. It's a fruity drink, technically, right? So
I'm going to be drinking lots of sangria on the Royal Caribbean cruise, because that's a good midday, get a nice crisp sangria. Really, really good on my Royal Caribbean cruise, because I got the drink package, so let's go. Ranges in price from $69 to $79 plus tax and gratuity, of course. You prepay all that at the time of booking. It's a 90-minute class. Of course, you got to be over the age of 21. Very unique and cool spot over at Three Bridges. One, that is another spot I think that's overlooked. I do want to piggyback on what Dan said about Coronado. I want to see if you guys agree with me. With the opening of the Grandestino Tower, I do not consider that portion of Coronado a moderate resort anymore. That is a deluxe resort, and there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
I think we should stop talking about that because I think Disney's just going to raise the prices on that tower.
It's a steal.
We keep talking about that. And I think the Three Bridges, it's going to get out eventually. I don't think enough podcasters, enough vloggers are talking about it yet, but it's there, and it's awesome. I mean, it's open air, and it's right in the middle of the lake. Like I said, Coronado's a great resort. I'm just surprised that it hasn't. It takes effort to get over there. So, I mean, if you don't have a car, yeah, it takes a lot of effort to get over there, either Uber or Lyft or connecting via bus. But if you're somebody looking for a fun time, something different and away from all the hustle and bustle, I think that's a great spot.
Really quickly, and I will tell you this, this does book up. So the Sangria University, you need to book this at that 60-day mark. Like, you need to get on and kind of know you want to do it. So that way you can get it, because like I'm looking out right now, it's only on Saturdays and Sundays, just so everyone knows, which I think is really great. That gets you out of the park whenever you're, you know, in those really, really busy days, kind of for that date day, kind of just doing a resort day. But I'm looking out, and I mean, I'm searching all the way out to May 18th. And as of right now on May 18th, I've got availability at 1:30, but if you go back just a little bit before then, I don't have hardly anything. So make sure put it on your radar. A lot of people are building lightsabers and going to Oga's and getting those reservations. Make this something you want to do. If you like sangria, take those couple hours to go relax, especially if you've got older kids. You know, they can stay by the pool. If, you know, Dan's got, you know, got older boys, stuff like that, they can relax and you can go for an hour or two and have that time to yourself.
Yeah, so I think this is a prepaid too. This is a prepaid.
It is prepaid. Yeah.
Yeah, so you got to make the commitment. But this sounds like something you can't really do at a lot of places. I mean, maybe there are places you could do sangria tastings, but
You make your own, Joe. You don't. It's not even, you know, it's not even the fact that you're just tasting them. You're making the sangrias.
Yeah, so you're not just being served. You're actually learning and doing some new things and trying some new flavors out, you know, that you're creating. Maybe I can make a pina colada one. I don't know. I mean, some of coconut.
Ooh, like it.
Who knows, you know. So, sounds like fun. So, it's something on your list if you're all looking to do something different on the Coronado Springs area. Number four is something that I personally have experience with, and I think it's pretty romantic, right? Great for a date night. And this is something, actually, believe it or not, at one time, I didn't go through with it, but I was contemplating proposing to my wife on one of these. And I didn't do it because it felt kind of cliche. So, I kind of backed away and didn't do it, and I decided to propose to her on the beach in Daytona, which turned out to be the better move because this is our home and we love Daytona. But that is a private fireworks cruise, and I was actually going to do that. I was going to propose during the fireworks and all that stuff at Seven Seas Lagoon. Didn't end up doing it, but this is a great way. Even if you're out with a couple of friends and you want to split the trip and have like a couple's night out, I think this would be great for all of us to have our spouses with us. But the private fireworks cruise, I did it at Epcot. But it also is at Magic Kingdom as well on Seven Seas Lagoon. So guys, what are your guys' thoughts about the private fireworks cruises at Epcot and or the Magic Kingdom?
It was one of my best Disney experiences, and I got to do it with Justin. It was very cool. It was definitely private. We had a great cast member who took us around, gave us some pointers on the lagoon. You know, everyone's looking for that perfect place to watch the fireworks, you know, whether it's, you know, on Main Street, kind of waiting, you know, in the hub area, trying to get that perfect spot a couple hours before you, but then you lose some park time, or, you know, at certain resorts, or, you know, maybe on the balcony at Bay Lake. But I think this was one of the best spots that I've ever got to watch fireworks from. It was private. It was no crowd. It was not people-y, which I really liked a lot. So definitely, it can be cost-effective when you realize how much time you're saving with waiting, sitting in a park waiting for the fireworks to start and not having to deal with all the hustle and bustle after the fireworks. I love it. I think it's great. I think that every Disney fan who really enjoys watching the fireworks and, you know, the Disney show should really, really take it at least once as a bucket list thing to do.
I'm going to jump in real quick because this was an incredible experience. I mean, Mike and I had an amazing evening, and this was the first DDP trip, and this was before we got on the cruise, I believe, right, Mike, that we did this?
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of a culmination that night. I remember Mike and I sitting in the back of the pontoon and kind of just chatting, and here are his girls with Riley and, you know, Katie and Laura, and we kind of just are sitting back and we're like, wow, you know, this is kind of the first time it really hit me. Like, this is a family, you know, we're all a family. And then I proposed to Mike to keep doing the show for a long time. And he accepted.
Attaboy.
Tears were shed. Look, this is a great deal. I tell all of my clients, I'm like, this is a steal, especially if you have, let's say the four of us, right? And our significant others. It's $449, starts at $449. It goes up a little bit from there if you go like off, go during, you know, really your peak times, July 4th, Christmas time, stuff like that. But $449 plus tax. But it comes with snacks. It comes with drinks already on board. It actually, a lot of people don't know this. It comes with a complimentary service where you can have a celebratory balloon and balloons and banners put on there for something you're celebrating, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So that's something like we can set up for you to where they'll just have that and you can celebrate that. But if for eight of us, Joey Q, for $450, you mean we're talking $100 a couple, a little more. And it's a great experience. This is a, you want to wow someone on a date night, don't even tell them. Take them on a specialty cruise. Get it booked and take them on a specialty cruise. I am telling you, this is one of those, you're saying it's top three for me. I mean, this is, and like I said, we're not doing this list in any order particularly, but this would be a top three date night experience at Walt Disney World.
Yeah, if you want to be a baller, you just go and do it yourself and not bring anybody else on board the ship. Or
that would be really funny, man, to just sit there on board and just you and the captain, you know, and no, you're just like, hey.
Your significant other, but...
Oh, I thought you meant just me. No, like, I just show up and I'm like,
sir, I'm here by myself.
I don't like crowds. I'm here to watch fireworks, you know?
I remember where we docked in Epcot, we docked underneath the bridge. We left from Yacht Club and we drove right in front of... Hollywood Studios, and you can see Fantasmic, some of the fireworks going off there, and kind of went back. We docked over by, like, I think it was by France, whatever, and you kind of tendered together a bunch of different boats. But I remember you felt like a VIP, because I remember people like on the bridges above us being like, how do they get in that boat? You know, look at all the, they got drinks down there and they got snacks. I remember people making comments. I just felt like a kind of like a VIP, you know what I'm saying? It was actually pretty cool. So, Dan,
don't look at me, you peons.
Exactly. The commoners.
Turn away.
Dan, have you ever done this before? Or have any thoughts of doing this?
I have not. I think this would be a great option, like Justin said, with a couple of different couples. I think it would be more fun, because aren't you on like a pontoon boat or whatever?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, I think this would be great if you had like 2, 3, 4 couples going on something like that. You know, obviously with me being the cheap one, splitting the cost is great. But I think it'd be great to have a small group of people, you know, a close group of friends to be able to do that. I think it would be more fun that way. So, yeah, it would be a great option.
It definitely sounds like something I think every diehard Disney fan should probably try to experience. It's something really cool just being on a smaller vessel out on Seven Seas Lagoon or, you know, over by World Showcase and just kind of catching, you know, a nighttime spectacular. It's actually pretty cool.
Let me ask you this, though. You guys did it. Can you see the castle very well? So can you see the projections on the castle? So
no,
you're just seeing
you're seeing fireworks and they pump the music in over the speakers on the boat. So. Gotcha. You can't see the projections, but it, Mike, I don't think it's, you know why? Because I've seen the projections. This was just a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like this was, and I'll tell you this, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Doing a pontoon is better than doing the grand one. Like better than doing the big yacht that you can rent through Disney. Because here's the thing. You're inside the yacht. Like there's not a lot of outdoor space to sit outside and watch fireworks. And what's the point on a nice evening of being inside? Now, I know it's luxurious and you can host more people, but for me, Joe, I just think give me a pontoon, let me be outside, you know, nice Florida evening with the people I love and have, you know, happily ever after playing over the speakers with fireworks booming, you know, as we, you know, clink glasses and share a drink. I mean, it's perfect.
No, it's awesome. And, you know, I remember even our captain had extra blankets and stuff on board the ship. And so if you're, you know, if we were on board on board and it's a little chilly out, you know, Justin and I, we can get underneath the blanket and kind of snuggle up together and stuff, kind of stay warm, you
perfect.
Know. So
love
it's it. Sounds like a fantastic night. But in all due seriousness, if you're dining at California Grill or anywhere around the time that Happily Ever After is going off, you'll see a bunch of red and green lights kind of docked in front of Seven Seas Lagoon, and that's all the private little boats out there kind of doing their thing, watching the fireworks. So it's kind of cool to see there's probably about like a 8 to 10 of them out there usually on a night. So and they usually take off. I know it's been from the Contemporary. They also do it from the Grand Floridian as well. So it just depends wherever you do your reservations from. So but speaking of nighttime things you could do with your significant other, this one I have zero experience for. Never really heard of it until tonight, but it sounds like it's really cool. It's the Animal Kingdom Lodge Nighttime Safari. And it's, I guess, has to do with like going out on the preserve at nighttime with night goggles. Does this sound like something that would be up your guy's alley? This is on our list at number 3 tonight. So, Dan, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I have zero experience with this. I honestly don't know a whole lot about it. I mean, here's the thing. Anything at Animal Kingdom is a hassle unless you're staying there. So, I mean, I consider doing it, I don't know, maybe. I think I would rather do like one of the Savannah things that they have over at Animal Kingdom Park in comparison to doing something at Animal Kingdom Lodge. But if I was staying there, you know, my idea may change. Again, I don't know a whole lot about this. I didn't get a chance to look this particular one up. But I don't know. Maybe the other guys have an idea on this one. But this one, I don't know if this one would necessarily be for me.
Justin?
Yeah, so I stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge quite a bit. I know Mike does as well. I've never done this, but it's definitely on my radar. So it ranges $75 to $89 per person. It's multiple times throughout the evening. Like, for example, tonight there's one at 8:30. So there's one actually just took off from as we're recording this. And there's another one at 10 p.m. And what it does is you go and you board an open-sided safari vehicle, and then they take you out on the savannah there at the lodge to where you can go and view over 30 different species of African wildlife, it says, at night using night vision devices that will be provided for you. So that's really unique. This takes off from Kidani. And you could go and you could have dinner at Sanaa and then, you know, go out on the savannah and have this experience. So I think it's a unique, when we talk Walt Disney World, especially if you're listening to this show right now, odds are you're a huge Disney fan. If you're not a Disney fan, you're listening to the show, that means you just love us and we love you too. But you are always looking for something unique to do at Walt Disney World. And, you know, you can go to the parks, you can go do that kind of stuff, you can ride attractions. But when you step out of the box, there's not a lot of places outside of Africa to where you can be inside of a Disney bubble, Disney service, Disney food, and go on something like a nighttime safari. So for me, I think this is super cool. It's very affordable. This is a great way to spend the evening for a date night.
This is actually one of those ones, the next time we have Dave on the show, I want to ask about, because Dave spent a lot of time working at Animal Kingdom Lodge,
yeah,
what his experiences were, if he got to experience this or see how popular it was. Be curious to see what his thoughts were on it. Mike, you and I both have a lot of professional experience using night vision. What are your thoughts about actually using night vision actually for non-professional purposes and to see the animals out on the safari per se?
Yeah, I've actually used those safari glasses because outside Jumbo House, they used to have an area where kids could just kind of pick them up and look at the animals out there. They had the night vision goggles out there as well, too. Very cool. I've seen the safari trips go on during the day. I didn't know this was an option at nighttime. I knew that they had the viewing area, and I knew that they had the, you know, safari tours during the day. So Laura loves animals. We love going to Animal Kingdom. It's our favorite lodge. That's something that we would definitely love to do. We've done the regular night vision goggles over in Jumbo House, right outside in that little area there where the fire pits usually are. We've done it with the kids, so to be able to do this on a date night would be really cool.
Yeah, it sounds like you kind of combine this with like a nice dinner at one of the restaurants over at either Jumbo or Kidani, make for a great evening. You could kind of, you know, spend, you know, 2-3 hours kind of doing this. So it sounds like a great night out, something different to do, something away from the hustle and bustle as well. So speaking of being away from the hustle and bustle, number 2 is something that's very high on my list. I know it's very high on Justin's list because we have that kind of similar thing where we like to be pampered. And that is kind of making a spa day for you and your spouse at one of the spas in or around Walt Disney World. And when I say mean in or around Walt Disney World, I think Disney's only got like really one full service spa left on property. It's at Grand Floridian. The one at Saratoga is pretty much not going to open back up. I am going to throw my 2 cents out there. If we have anybody out here who's looking for a great spa within very close distance to Walt Disney World, I highly recommend the Marilyn Monroe Day Spa over at the Grand Hyatt, which is right outside of Disney Springs. You would actually go out and make a left and then a second left right out of Hotel Plaza Boulevard. It's a very small day spa, but there are excellent services there. I've I'll admit it. I've gotten facials there before. I've gotten manicures, pedicures. I've had a couple's massages there. And my wife and I swear by that place. Really nice staff there. It's clean. It's very quiet. But sometimes it's hard to get into those Disney spas. And also, it's like I had a fraction of the price too, which is great. So I'm going to start with Justin because I know he's a big fan of these kind of things. Spa days at Disney World, in or around Walt Disney World, your thoughts?
I've never actually done one at Disney World. Now, I have done a lot of them on Disney Cruise Line. Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. I'm on DCL. We did a couple's massage with the private room. We had it for almost like, I think, 3.5 hours. Brought in chocolate covered strawberries and champagne. And you have a private, we had a private deck with a private jacuzzi that we could get in after the massages and everything. I've done the, I love the Fire and Ice pedicure for men. I have to put that in there for men, Fire and Ice. It's fantastic, man. It's a great way to relax. It's a great way. It's a unique thing to do with someone else that you, your significant other. So I'm all for it. I really should. It's funny because like I said, during the show, I've been playing on Royal Caribbean's website with my portal, and I was actually looking at spa services, not for Katie, but for me on my cruise because I do enjoy them so much. But I know, Mike, we're talking about me and you. I think you're missing out. I think the number one person on this show for spa treatments, and this will surprise people, is Mike.
Really?
Married 23 years. If I showed this list to my wife, the top thing that I know she would pick would be definitely a spa or a couple's massage day. That has my wife written all over it. My wife would go to the poorest, junkiest countries and just find a spa, and she would be happy. It wouldn't matter what it was, how good it was. If she could have a spa day and get a massage, she is all about that. So I know, looking at this list, this has her written all over it. We've never got to do one in Disney, obviously. I think one of the best spa days the two of us have ever had was in Las Vegas. We've had some amazing, really good good spa places out there. They really know how to cater to their clientele when you're out there. We do it all the time here. There's a couple of day spas we go to. That tends to be one of our relaxation things. We go all the time. We love to go. Whenever I do a wedding gift or, you know, like an anniversary gift or a birthday gift, I always includes one of the spas here where she gets a day out of the spa. So looking at this, no brainer. This has Laura written all over it. She would take this out of everything on this list any day, anytime, anywhere.
All right. Dan, your Jen is, she's got you and three other boys, so she's got like her hands full all the time. So is a spa day on her list if you guys want to have a date night?
I mean, in the Rossi house, surprisingly, I am the bougie one here. Jen, for whatever reason, does not really enjoy the whole spa experience, doesn't like Same a massage. Things. And like, so like, because we've gone to like Sandals resorts, and I, you know, a couple of times I did a couple's massage for us. And she did not like it. I mean, me, I literally fell asleep during the massage. I like enjoyed the heck out of myself. Thought it was fantastic. Talked, you know, and then, you know, we sat down and had a drink afterward. And she's like, yeah, I didn't like it. So I was tense. I didn't like the person touching me. Like, it's just like, that's not her thing. So like for me, yeah, I think it would be great. Like it, like Justin said, on the Disney Cruise Line, the rainforest room. I love that in the spa. That's fantastic. So any of those hydrotherapy things, a massage, I'm all for, not for my wife. So I mean, maybe I shouldn't complain because she's not spending a ton of money doing all these things, but unfortunately, I'm the guilty one here.
We are a very bougie podcast here. We're all into 100% the spas.
All of us, four of us. 100%.
I will say the spa at Alani was absolutely amazing. Was not amazing when I got the bill at the end of the day because I did not realize that Alani took no discounts and I paid full price. So that was rough, but that was an amazing, amazing experience. So, well, I'm glad that, you know, spa days are on the top of everybody's list. So there are some great spas all around Walt Disney World as well. So if their senses is not open, just, you know, open up to Google. You know, there's plenty of resorts around Orlando that you can get a top-notch spa. You know, there's Ritz-Carlton's, there's JW, Marriott's, and so on and so forth. So there's great places if you have a vehicle, you know, kind of venture off property and get a really
good
service.
Isn't there one at the Swan and Dolphin, too? Isn't there one over there?
Yeah, there's the Mandara Spa at the Swan and Dolphin as well. Yep. So they're a little more pricier. They're about the ballpark for with Senses. Actually, probably a little bit more because Senses, you do get a DVC discount, but they're about on par. So, yeah. So speaking of that, we're at the top of our list, number one, not in any specific order, as Justin said before, but this one is at the top of, I think, most of our list. If you're going to do a a nice date night. And unfortunately, they're still doing that menu, I believe, Justin, but we're still going to have this at the top of the list, and that is California Grill. I think there's no better resort being in a legacy resort, opening day resort at Walt Disney World, overlooking the Magic Kingdom, overlooking Seven Seas Lagoon and Bay Lake, you know, the open kitchen, the fantastic menu that's there. I think you can't have, and I think it's limited young people, so it's a little more of a classier experience. You know, listen, Victoria and Albert's, it's kind of a whole separate thing. We didn't even put that in this list. That's some maybe not even achievable for some people. It's hard to get that reservation.
It's an experience, man. I wouldn't throw it in there.
Yeah, but California Grill is something that is easily done. You can eat at, you can walk up and do, sit at the bar and eat if you get there right away when it opens, or if you get a reservation. It's just a great place. It's still top of my list. One of the, I've had better luck there than at Topolino's, as you guys know that, but California Grill. Justin, I'm going to start with you because I know it was high on your list until they had that prefix menu, but as a date night experience with the missus, your thoughts?
Yeah, all right, we're all going to put our pretend blinders on, okay? I don't pretend the prefix menu doesn't exist. It would be my number one restaurant on property. From walking into the Contemporary to the check-in to, you know, being escorted to the elevator to getting up to the restaurant, and when the doors opened, you kind of hear the, you know, the clank of the, you know, the people eating, and you could smell the food, and you can see out, you know, all, not just the Magic Kingdom, but you can see, I feel like, all of Central Florida from up there. The food's delicious. The ambiance is great. You don't feel like... So a lot of times Disney, they try to stuff so many people in that you feel like people are on top of you at some of the restaurants. Not with California Grill. And I mean, what a great way to for a kiss goodnight to end your evening with walking outside as long as the weather's good, and you know, being outside and watching fireworks, you know, over the Magic Kingdom. It's just it's the perfect experience if you want a great date night, you want a great meal. You can't really go wrong, Cali Grill, man.
Yeah, definitely think it's like a rite of passage if you're a diehard Disney fan. If you're able to do it, it's obviously something you should experience. Dan, I mean, is this rank highly on your list of things to experience?
Yeah, it does. I haven't been there since the prefix menu has happened, but I mean, up until that point, it was probably my favorite restaurant on property. Again, I'd never had a bad meal there. The food was phenomenal. I think the last time I went there, we actually took the whole family. So it wasn't just Jen and I, we even took the boys, and like, you know, it was definitely a pricey evening, you know, and the boys, you know, I don't know how old they were at the time, but like their eyes lit up when they saw the, you know, cause they saw the bill come to the table, and they're like, holy cow, I can't believe this meal costs this much. But again, it was a great experience. We got to go outside, watch the fireworks afterward. You know, so again, it's the views there, the food. I just wish they would just go back to a traditional menu at some point, just because I hate that prefix menu. It's just, in my opinion, it's just too much food. I just don't need that much food. And, you know, I'd rather be able to pick and choose what I want.
All right, Mike, bring us home. This is the final thoughts of our evening for our list. Your thoughts on California Grill.
California Grill, when I first started doing this podcast, I'd never done it before. And obviously going on the recommendations of all of our podcast hosts, I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I loved it. I'm not crazy about the price fix menu. I really hope that they go back to, you know, what it was before. I really enjoyed going there. We had a great family dinner there, our first family time there. We got to do the fireworks outside. It was a lot of fun. It was great. Highly recommend it. Even if you don't get to be there for the fireworks, I think it's a great ambiance. The food itself isn't great. The cast members there also, I know, you know, when Jason was there, they did a brunch, you know, when Jason, you know, from the podcast before, they were really good to the boys. I think one of the boys was kind of into cooking and the chefs kind of took him in the back. So even though it's kind of a nice, fancy DV, you know, the nice, fancy kind of, you know, restaurant, it was really good that they were able to cater to the kids too as well. But definitely a great place for atmosphere, for food, and for the overall ambiance for a date night. It's one of my favorite places to go. And if you happen to be out there, you know, when you get to see the fireworks, go outside on that deck, take some pictures of the castle, and you know what? Post them on our Facebook page, because we have an amazing DDP Facebook page, and brings me to my favorite thing every week, and that would be Picks of the Week.
Picks of the Week. Picks of the Week. It's time for us to get our Picks of the Week.
All right, guys, my favorite thing every week, and that's Picks of the Week. Joe, what's your pick of the week?
So my pick of the week, I think, goes to one of our biggest fans down in South Florida. I've had a chance to go to a hockey game with this guy. He's been to many of our DDP meetups in Walt Disney World. He's part of our running team, and that's Ravi Bremer. And Rami just posted this on our Patreon page and texted this to me at the same time. And I think this is absolutely awesome. Our DDP family is absolutely amazing. Ravi is a season ticket holder for the Florida Panthers. And I guess as a promotional thing for season ticket holders, they invited their season ticket holders out on the ice at the Amerant Bank Arena down in Sunrise, Florida. And Ravi painted DDP on the ice in front of the goal line, in front of like the half boards, which I think is absolutely awesome. So we've got to be one of the only podcasts who've had our name painted on an NHL rink. So yeah, I think that's really awesome. Ravi, thank you for thinking of all of us. You're an amazing family member within the DDP community. So for that, Ravi gets my pick of the week.
Very cool, Ravi. I get to meet Ravi on one of our last trips, on a Universal trip, and it was great to meet him, and a super, super nice guy. So very cool to see that. Justin, what's your pick of the week?
Yeah, I'm going to cheat. Can I cheat? I'm going to cheat. I'm going to cheat. I'm going to take one of our hosts. I'm going to take Joey Quatz, who's right here with us, because he posted something that I'm super excited about. Run Disney released the artwork for the 2025 marathon weekend, just updated today, and man, does it look awesome. I am a huge fan of the artwork this year. All the classic characters right there. Love the goofy race and a half, and I love the dopey artwork as well. But even the 5, the 10, the half, and the full, I'm super excited doing dopey this year to be able to get all 6 of these shirts, all 6 of these medals, and I think it'll be just a great experience. So thanks for posting that, man. That's over the DDP Today Sorcerer's running page. Of course, if you haven't joined that, make sure to go join that. Even if you're not a runner, even if you're just trying to take that first step, nothing but positivity over there. So click that link below and go join the guys over there and post, man, because there's a lot of people who are your biggest cheerleader no matter where you are in your journey, and we are there to help, and our coaches and our team's there to help you achieve those goals. So go join.
Very cool. Dan, what's your pick of the week?
Well, first and foremost, that DDP on the Panthers ice, I mean, that sponsorship, I mean, how much would that cost? So, I mean, we're saving a lot of money right now that we have our advertisement on the Florida Panthers ice. So, I mean, that is awesome. But my pick of the week this week is going to go to our buddy Zach Woodard. He posted a picture of Taylor Swift on Disney Plus. He said, "I really dislike Disney right now. It's been on our TV since yesterday. Zach, I feel your pain. My wife is not, you know, she's not a Swiftie at all by any means, but she forced me to watch this thing, I think, on Saturday, and then she was watching it on Sunday. Like, it's been on my TV much longer than it needed to be." Now, with that being said, I will say she's a pretty darn good performer to put on a 3.5 hours.
It's amazing, man.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
It is a pretty amazing show. I will give her that. It's not really my kind of music, but again, she looks like she puts on an absolutely amazing show. And I think Disney was probably pretty smart to team up with her and to get all the Swifties to subscribe to Disney Plus if they hadn't already and go ahead and watch that show again.
Have you guys ever seen the meme that was floating around on the internet where it was Taylor Swift performing on like a trailer, and she just had a poster that just said Taylor Swift, and she was performing at some like country fair, some like town fair in front of like 12 people.
Dude,
and then it's like
Katie saw her live when she was just starting at the Keith Albee Theater in Huntington, West Virginia, and there was like 50 people in the audience.
That's crazy.
It's absolutely amazing how people come from like small beginnings to like the big time. I remember, Mike, you'll get a kick out of this. This was back in the mid to late 90s. I was at a Jets game and Monday Night Football at the Meadowlands, and they had a halftime show, and it was a group featuring Beyonce. And it was, they kind of got booed that night. We're like, who is this group? And then now Beyonce is married to Jay-Z and is a big figure inside New York City. So, you know, go figure, but you never know. These stars, you know, start on the small level, and then all of a sudden they're, you know, bigger than life. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, Dan, you're wearing a Taylor Swift's boyfriend's t-shirt. I mean, for Super Bowl Sunday, I mean, so.
There I was.
But it's crazy. Yep. But had a blast tonight, guys. Final thoughts on tonight's show about, you know, top places to take your significant other on date nights. Justin, we'll start with you.
I get to do my pick of the week. Don't chit me out of my favorite thing every week.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, you let the guy run a show 1 week, Justin.
1 week and he forgets about you.
Mike, let's go to your pick of the week.
I'm like
no mind list, Mike. You're on the pay no mind list.
My goodness. And I have a very important post this week. It's actually a post and a picture, and that goes to the Smith family, Irene Smith, who we absolutely love and adore. They are our West Coast family. That's the West Coast mom out there for all of us. She is going with her daughter and the grandkids out to Disneyland. The last time they were out there was almost 4 years ago, and they hadn't gone since COVID. They are on their way to their happy place. And like I said, we love the Smith family. You know, the whole family, they're such fantastic people. To know them is to love them, and I hope you are having a fantastic time out in Disneyland. We had a blast when we were out there with you guys, and I'm hoping you're having a blast now.
Now, Joe, you can get the final, to to Irene Smith and her family. I almost denied her her pick of the week, so my apologies to them for them if they're listening to this, because I almost took that that honor away from them. So my fault. Sorry about that, guys. So great picks of the week, guys. Let's try to close this up again. Final thoughts. Mike, I'll go with you this time since you just had your last pick of the week.
Well, I loved having you host, Joe, tonight. It was absolutely great until the last couple of minutes, and then I kind of questioned our idea of letting you host the show. But other than that, it was great. And if you're looking for some date night, some date advice, I hope hopefully we helped you get along and had that magical, amazing date and maybe propose on a fireworks cruise.
All right, well, let's get my pink slip from Justin here. Justin, final thoughts on the show tonight.
You're fine. It's just one write-up. You know what I mean? It's a warning, a write-up, and then termination. So you're still hanging in there. I think it's important for Disney fans to realize that there's more than just the parks. And I think there's, I think it's important. You deserve a date night out at Disney. Like you know what I mean? You deserve to take that time, you and your significant other, and spend time together. I think it's important. And there's so many great ways to do it. And I think we hit a lot of those tonight with our list of 10 amazing ways to spend a date night at Walt Disney World. And I'm excited to, mark a couple of these off my list that I haven't done. Like Sangria University, and definitely never do the one with the horse and buggy. So, yep, it'll be great.
Dan, close us out here.
No, this was a great show. Like for Jen and I, this is something that we've really been taking advantage of over the last 5 or 6 years. Because again, like when the boys were old enough, it was great where we were able to take an evening and just go do one of these things. And one of the things that even wasn't on the list, I remember years back, unfortunately, the Boardwalk Pizza isn't quite what it used to be. But like we would get a whole pizza for the boys, let them sit in the resort. And then Jen and I would just kind of go around World Showcase. We had dinner one night and just some drinks. Again, it is important for mom and dad to be able to get out and do something on their own every once in a while. And to be able to do that at Disney is definitely special. So this was a good one for me.
Well, we hope that some of our ideas here will spark some ideas for your guys' trips coming up if you need an idea to have a good time with your significant other. So I'm really looking forward to Patreon tonight. We've kind of been pulling back the curtain on us personally. And tonight we're going to talk about our top five favorite songs of all time. And I have a feeling that we're all going to have extremely different lists to reveal. So Patreon, if you guys are ready for that, stand by. You guys are on deck. And on behalf of the boys tonight, on behalf of Justin, Dan, Mike, and myself, and Dave, who's not here, we wish he was here. My name is Joe. We hope you guys enjoyed tonight's show, and we will see you real soon, guys. Have a good night.
Have a good night, everybody.
Have a good night.
On behalf of the Disney Dads, we want to say thank you. We hope you find a little magic in your life every day, spread some Disney love, and keep moving forward.
And they all lived happily ever after. Each of us has a dream, a heart's desire. It calls to us. And when we're brave enough to listen and bold enough to pursue, that dream will lead us on a journey to discover who we're meant to be. All we have to do is look inside our hearts and unlock the magic within.
Ready to begin, let the wonder.
And that's a wrap.
This has been YDF Media Productions.